One Pixel Jump for July 22nd, 2010.
Tonight, we talk about the first half of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040, the long-awaited prequel to the smash sensation Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2041.
Oh shit, it's the future! What do we do?
We need to wait for an evil corporation based off of a movie starring Harrison Ford to make evil robots to attack everyone. But don't worry. No matter how many robots attack us, lingerie store owners will save us from the boomers. Or boomers. Or booma.
There's always English on the screens in this series, and it looks so weird. What was it we saw? It was like, besides boomer, there's like some sort of interface thing. Acton or something?
Oh, that's right. It's Nene's computer. Instead of addition, it says Adaton. Which sounds like a Pokemon now that I think about it. Adaton, go. Use Thundershock. And Nene's just sitting in the corner. Man, I never get to do anything now that we have Adaton. Nene, don't feel down on yourself. You never did anything even when we didn't have Adaton.
Ah, Nene. The other person who kind of helps out from the very beginning against these giant robots that go rogue. And she's also a hacker mall person. I'm kind of expecting her to do a weird little smile with her lips and then pretend that she's in 24.
You find out Nene is... She's the mole inside of the Nightsabers. She's the... She actually goes to America and faces down Jack Bauer. She tries to use that needle gun on him and just brushes off of his chest. And he's like, oh, this is Japan's new secret weapon to fight us. They just drive a tank over her hard suit. She's sitting there screaming and wailing about it. Celia's like, nah, I consider it win-win for us. Nene's paralyzed for the rest of her life.
Nene. Once you're out of the show, we aren't even going to care about you.
Well, I mean, it's not like she ever needs to walk anyway. Her suit has a jetpack, and she's sitting down almost all of the time.
There's, like, this one episode where it's her and Pris, and so, like, they're fighting this one boomer thing, and then, you know, Pris kind of gets hurt, and Nana's just kind of off camera for a few minutes.
This is a... I sort of like this episode. The main boomer attack story is... Nothing really that important. There's a Genom facility underwater that has something to do with whatever. And one of the guys who works there, because it's an all-the-time job, he's basically at a boarding school underwater with boomers. And his wife gets super mad at him because he's never home, and she cheats on him. And he remote controls a boomer to go to their house and... Presumably to, because the guy's actually kind of a nice guy, so presumably to apologize, but because the boomer goes rogue in the middle of this, it looks more like Bubblegum Crisis is trying to teach you, if your spouse ever cheats on you, kill them with a remote control robot.
Such creepy robots too. Why do they have teeth?
Because they need to eat robot food. They have to be fed boomer flakes, you know. All the boomers at Genom are kept in a big watery tank, and every day at lunchtime, somebody comes in with a giant box of boomer flakes to shake into the tank so they can eat it.
And do they also watch a giant robot anime on Saturday mornings as they eat those boomer flakes?
No. They have to watch Maharomatic and other maid shows.
Well, no wonder they went rogue. They have, you know, awful shows to watch, and boomer flakes. They're horrible.
I love the idea of that. You've got Frosted Flakes, which has Tony the Tiger, and you have Boomer Flakes, that has Tony the Tiger, but half of his face is ripped off, and he's got the Terminator eye on him. Oh, shit. Now we have to deal with robot tigers. I'm moving out of Tokyo. I'm going back to live with Lena's oppressive, traditional Japanese family.
And this series does a good job of portraying how everyday life's kind of a nuisance, especially to these superhero women.
Yeah, I like when superheroes have to actually deal with their lives outside of that. To an extent, there are it works a little bit less when a superhero is almost all-powerful, because sometimes you're like, eventually a normal person's going to get annoyed and just chop everyone's head off with laser vision. But I guess the Night Sabers don't get to wear their hard suits all the time.
We'll have to somehow keep their identity secret, even though these are very form-fitting suits and they radio to each other by name.
I assume that the communications between their hard suits are on some sort of closed frequency that only they can communicate to.
Because the AD police is useless?
It's not like the AD... Exactly. You think the AD police is going to be able to hear them? Oh, hell no. The AD police can't hear their own helicopters being shot down by surface-to-air missiles. We're skipping around a lot, but that's probably my favorite scene in the first half of this series, when the giant military boomer attacks. By the way, I like the fact that in 2040, military boomers are shown to be significantly bigger than regular boomers that go rogue. But the military boomer goes crazy in Tokyo, smashes a couple buildings, presumably empty buildings because it's Sunday after all, and the military doesn't want the AD police to interfere because of a sense of pride. After the military doesn't do anything, I think they fire at it a couple times and they get totally punked by the boomer doing whatever boomers do. And the AD police chief is like, damn it, that thing is a boomer and we're going to take it down. And a helicopter flies up and shoots it a few times. And then Leon, or maybe Daly, immediately yells, wait a minute, chief. I remember that that boomer has surface-to-air missiles. And she's like, oh shit, helicopter guy, get out of there. And then the helicopter guy gets shot down by the missiles, with the boomer suffering absolutely no damage. So really, that helicopter showed up just to get shot down by the boomer.
So sad, it makes me think of Resi 4 when that happens to that helicopter. Leon finally gets some help, and this guy, you know, helps him out, shooting zombies and stuff. He's like, the drinks are on me when I get back! And then, you know, the helicopter blows up.
The problem is that the Leon in this series, the Leon in Resident Evil 4 did not have a modestly homosexual partner. Daly's not quite as bad as he was in the original. He doesn't have the pink hair, nature's warning lights for homosexuality. But he does have a pink vest.
And he's always teasing Leon about, you know, Pris.
I know, the way that he jabs at Leon, and the way that he sort of assists Nene in picking on him, it's almost like he and Nene are super best friends. Lena and Nene at some point have a slumber party together, and I almost expected Lena to show up at Nene's house in Daly and Nene to be sitting there painting each other's nails and talking about boys.
Talking about boomers.
Talking about boomer boys. They're boomer women. Why aren't there any, like, boomer men?
Well, the demographics don't want to see that. I'm sure they must exist in basements with chains and leather.
Brian J. Mason was the one who was overseeing the human-like boomer production line, and he's looking at the female boomers. They got the maid suits and the business suits. He kisses one of them on the lips. He's like, yes, this will work. Then he comes over, he sees some male boomers, and he kisses one of them on the lips and is like, this isn't giving me an erection at all. What were you thinking? Destroy it.
But it's still so creepy. I mean, okay, you got these waitresses who are boomers, and, you know, they're just kind of serving people, and they lick the coffee office creepy guy at one point.
That, I don't remember. I guess that would have been, like, episode 3, when they the guy accidentally gets coffee spilled on him by a boomer waitress. He's like, lick my jeans clean. And Lena totally calls him out on it. It's like, yeah, I bet you wish your girlfriend would do that to you or something like that. And the guy gets super embarrassed. And apparently, if you tell a boomer to lick your clothing, it will cause the boomer to get a taste for clothing, and then it will go rogue. And turn into... I'm not too up on my Japanese folklore, but I am aware that there is a demon that looks like a gangly, maybe naked woman with a super long tongue, and, you know, you see that sort of thing, and it's really, really creepy. But apparently the super long tongue is because it wants to eat your poop directly out of your butt. Now, that's not necessarily creepy. I mean, you know, that's not really creepy for the victim. It's a little bizarre, but...
It's still creepy.
It's super gross, basically. That's what it is.
That too.
So let's take a step back. We've sort of riffed on a little bit of the elements in the episodes. Let's explain the general story of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040. The premise for the show is that in Tokyo, in the future, there are robots. And they do everyday chores like street sweeping and steel mill working, being waitresses, you know, menial labor that people don't want to do. Then occasionally, for reasons unknown, they will go rogue, go crazy, and attack people. And consequently, two organizations have been formed. The AD Police, as formed by the Genom Corporation, who are the authority on boomer attacks. If boomers attack, you call the AD Police. On the side, there is a group of 3 to 4 vigilante women known as the Night Sabers, who use hard suits that make the AD Police look like a big batch of idiots.
Well,
not
it helps
that they
that
need any help.
It helps that there's so many of the AD Police.
The inverse ninja law?
Yep.
If there, that's fair. Within the fandom, there are 3 useful members of the AD Police, although there's technically only 1, really. It's really Leon. Daly is sort of there to be snarky at times, but it's really Leon who saves the day, so to speak. He doesn't do much else, but at least he goes into battle with boomers with a pistol, and that's kind of ballsy, if a really, really dumb thing to do.
He ought to just ask the Night Sabers for his own hard suit.
The Night Sabers can only be women.
Why?
Because it's totally hot. Do you want to see
Leon
running around in his... Do you want to see Leon running around in a skin-tight suit? I didn't think so.
I bet Daly would.
Daly would want his own skin-tight suit. You don't even have to put weapons in it. Just make my junk look huge.
Special modifications. There's Nigel, the repair person for these suits. Maybe he's just like, Nigel, I need a special modification in the garage.
I need a special... Hey, you know that plumbing area? He ribs him a little bit. I need that to be like 10 times as big. Do you realize it's going to throw your hard suit really out of balance? I don't care. It'll be totally worth it. He gets a modification to his hard suit, can barely walk, but he walks him to prison hip thrust.
But all this wouldn't happen because Celia's into chicks. Celia being the big mastermind behind the Night Sabers.
There are certain truths in Bubblegum Crisis. Nene doesn't do anything, the AD Police are useless, and there will be a whole lot of lesbian overtones from somebody. In the original, it was mostly Pris. You might get a little bit from Lena, maybe even Nene. In 2040, you get it from mostly Celia, and Lena, and Pris,
and Nene. Even though Nene's kind of into 15-year-old robot boys.
Poor Maki. He's not a robot. That's crazy.
Well, maybe he's just into robotic hard suits. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Well, no. I mean, could you blame him? I mean, you see... I know you're a girl, but you didn't get, like, a boner when you watched Pris exploding, punching people?
It'd be kind of crazy if I got a boner.
Well, I don't know. You could, like, do the... You know the thing where you pretend to have muscles by pushing your arm up while nobody's looking from the other side? You just do that, but with, like, your pants.
That doesn't work that way!
It's close enough. But, all of the members of the Night Sabers... Priscilla Asagiri, Pris, Nene Romanova, who...
I knew she was a mole!
I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce her name, but it makes her sound Russian to me, which goes back to Nene versus Jack Bauer. Celia Stingray, who is the bitch of the series, overtaking Pris from the original, and Lena, who's actually a character this time.
You mean she's not a two-dimensional cardboard cutout aerobics instructor who makes a friend and then, like, doesn't really care when she dies nearly as much as Pris, who met her for, like, 2 seconds?
Exactly. This is... the only downside is that she doesn't get the totally sweet workout theme. That's the only... that is one of the things that the original definitely has over 2040 is the 2040s music is not necessarily that great.
You've got a soundtrack, like, instead of playing songs like they played in the original, you have boom, 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 boom. For, like, okay, it's supposed to be a tension piece. It's supposed to say that's a really scary moment or whatever. It just kind of makes me want to dance or beatbox or something.
It doesn't even sound like music. It actually just sounds like somebody got their hands on a recording device and the foot pedal to a drum set. It doesn't exactly live up to the standards of Mad Machine by Kinuku Omori. But then again, what really could live up to those standards? These women form the Nightsabers. They have robot suits that allow them to fight boomers on a level unknown by the AD police. The only equivalence they have is the K-suit, which really is just a robot-mounted Gatling gun that fires really fast and doesn't do anything to boomers, except occasionally blow off the arm. That's the weirdest thing about the AD police in this series, is that whenever the AD police get the chance to fight a boomer before the Nightsabers come in and totally show them up, is that they will shoot the boomer until one of its arms gets blown off, and then they are convinced that the boomer is disabled. And then immediately go in and one of them gets tentacle raped by the boomer's assimilation ability.
They're lucky if they die right away.
Yeah, I know. You're lucky in the AD police if you get to be blown up in a helicopter. I imagine that assimilation by a robot is significantly worse.
To be fair, there's a lot less blood and guts in 2040 than there was in the original.
Which so is...
They got off light there.
Which is something, I would say that is to its benefit, more or less. It's certainly, they did ramp up the sexiness just a little bit. I mean, you know, depending on your preference for hard suits, which I say is okay.
But hard suit.
Damn right. That's what Leon's banking on. I also need the extension to the plumbing system to be very flexible. Can you actually just, like, put a cannon in there? That would be awesome. Leon, the recoil will shatter your balls, but it'd be so worth it. Leon walks home in a cast, and he's now a eunuch. He's like, maybe it wasn't that worth it. He looks at the picture of him firing the crotch cannon. He's like, well, maybe it was. The inability to have sex with the woman that I am attracted to, or was attracted to, pales in comparison to the ability to fire a giant laser out of my groin.
But Leon, you'll always have me daily.
I don't care if your junk doesn't work. I just love you because you love me for who I am. Now I don't have to keep dyeing my hair so that it's not pink. And that's the premise of the show. There's the two AD police officers, Leon and Daly, who occasionally help the Nightsabers, but really it's the Nightsabers totally punk the boomers, and Leon and Daly get to get mad about it. Leon gets to get mad about it. Daly doesn't really seem to mind.
He just giggles a lot.
Pris is the singer in an underground punk rock band. Lena is an office lady. And Nene is a monitoring technician for the AD police.
And Celia is an independent billionaire who runs a woman's clothing shop for kicks.
And she's... Okay, Celia is usually a very cold, very distant, very bitchy character. But then you see her in her store, and then there are these women who are like, well, I don't really know if this skin-tight piece of clothing would really look all that great on me. And she's like, yes, you look wonderful! And I'm kind of glad they don't focus that much on her job.
Yeah, it makes her come off as extremely sycophantic whenever she's trying to sell somebody something. It's because she walks into the dressing room with them for a chance to see some boob. To be fair, if I ran a lingerie or women's clothing store, I would probably also do that. That's not true.
Just slowly peek over the stall. Like Quagmire?
No, peek over the stall, not Spider-Man my way on the ceiling. And that's... A lot of the initial episodes are based around just sort of building the foundation of the darkness that is Tokyo as they're attacked by boomers, and building up the characters in their own little individual way, The story actually focuses off on Lena in the beginning because she comes to Tokyo and she is an office lady. Lena is like the ultimate Josei XP character because she comes from a rigidly disciplined traditional Japanese farm family that strikes me as rather wealthy because her father's like, you need to get married and that vagina isn't going anywhere, so it better be popping me out some children. So she escapes, moves to Tokyo, and joins a small office firm that I think is a subsidiary of Genom. It has an actual name, but I don't remember it. And she's hit on by her superiors at least twice. There's the creepy guy who grabs her shoulder while he's wearing a wedding ring. And then there's the guy in the first episode who asks her out on a date and tries to have sex with her on the basis that he does her performance reviews.
Thank God that boomer decided to crash the party.
Yes, Lena, saved by boomer attack. It's sort of a cheap laugh when the boomer attacks and he runs off screaming like a little girl. And Lena also runs off screaming, but like a big girl. It's played for a cheap laugh. A sort of 90s anime thing.
But I think it's cool how, like, it focuses on how ridiculous that is. A lot of anime doesn't really do that enough.
It's not common to see in something outside of a josei. A josei manga will sometimes have office ladies who are shown to be, you know, more cunning and more clever than their superiors as they are treated like the office flower who's not supposed to really do anything. But those don't have the office lady then get into a power suit and fight robots. There's not a whole lot to say about Pris in 2040. She's still pretty much the character that she was in the original, though she's less of a bull dyke and more of just a sort of brooding chick. It's a welcome change overall.
She kind of sort of actually keeps her hair cut.
Actually, I think her hair looks a lot more messy in 2040.
It does, but at least it's still the same color.
That's true.
Nene and Lena both definitely change hair colors from, like, teal and pink to brown and blonde.
Yeah, the character design of Pris is the only one that is not exactly the same, but similar enough that if you were shown a picture of if you knew what Pris looked like, and then you saw 2040 Pris, you would know it was Pris. If you know what Lena looks like, and then you see a picture of 2040 Lena, you'd have no idea who it was. Because in Bubblegum Crisis, Lena has that 80s hair that doesn't make any sense and you only see for women who work out in music videos and wear headbands. In 2040, she has that anime hairstyle that doesn't make any sense where you have super short hair in the back, but you have really long hair in front of your ears.
I've seen it actually in real life before, and it really doesn't look good on people.
I'm not sure if I didn't see this person myself, so I'm not sure. Maybe that is a hairstyle you could pull off for real in real life, and the person you saw was just super ugly. The reason I say that is because there's absolutely no way that you would see a person have that hairstyle unless they were into anime, and also a girl.
Oh, she was. She was this.
Yeah, and they're not exactly known for their sex appeal. Wonder if this would be the appropriate time to break out that horror story. I'm sorry, do you have something to cough about? I didn't insult you or anything, did I? Have I told you that story of when I went to MTAC and there was a late-night panel for adults only of risque cosplay? Did I tell you about that?
Yes. Tell the internet.
Tell the internet what I did.
So tell the internet.
At MTAC, there is, on Saturday, really super late at night, there is a panel. It's something of a fashion show similar to the cosplay fashion show called Risque Cosplay. Basically, it's where cosplayers come out and, you know, give the audience a little bit of sugar. And I, in my naivete, decided that this would be a fun thing to go to. I'm not going to tell the whole story, except for two very important elements. One, it's very telling that the person I thought actually pulled it off the best was somebody cosplaying as Raiden from Metal Gear Solid 2.
How do you even cosplay as him? Do you just hold your hand in front of your crotch?
I think the guy was wearing a thong. He might have been like the general who looks like Raiden from Metal Gear Solid 3, because he was also wearing like an officer's hat. It was gross, but at least, like, I don't even know how to say it. The women were so ugly that I was like, I have to latch on to something. That guy looks kind of okay. Two, if you're going to cosplay my Shiranui from King of Fighters, King of Fighters, you need to make sure that you have the physique to pull it off. Cottage cheese thighs and a flat chest, my Shiranui does not make. It was... So, yeah, if you ever get the chance to see a burlesque show-esque cosplay demonstration, don't. Don't. You probably were able to tell that by common sense, but I wasn't, so here's my warning to you, Internet.
It's the Internet. The first thing that would come to the Internet's mind is, ZOMG, real-life titties. No.
That's a fair point.
Crossplay.
Maybe it would have worked better if somebody had come in as Lena, and they would have, like, come in the full hard suit, and everyone else is really confused. I'm sitting in the corner cheering, going, yeah! Yeah, take out the razor ribbons. Tie me up, why don't you?
But keep on that suit.
Damn right. The only thing that would have made it better? Possibly an eye patch, if she was smoking a cigar through it. Holding up a gun, even though she doesn't need a gun. As we've seen with Nene, guns are not a very... Nene and the rest of the AD police, guns are not very useful.
Only when it comes up in a plot line.
Yeah, the only time Nene gets to be useful is when the plot forces her to be useful, and then she's never useful again. The only time... They try to fake you out, though, when the giant boomer attacks and Pris has to go out by herself because Nene is stuck in her AD police booth. She does research, and she does a lot of super hacking to get into the Ministry of Defense, and she finds the schematics of the super giant boomer and finds out that it's actually a regular boomer controlling a giant boomer suit, and that they have to break the core of the regular boomer to destroy it. And then Pris punches it open, tears through the giant boomer, and then crushes the core without anybody telling her anything. And then Maki's like, isn't it a good thing Nene helped? Sure. Helped. Nene's sitting there very pleased with herself, holding an apple, holding a bag of Red Hot Snack.
Tell them about Red Hot Snack.
It's... Brand names in anime are very weird because they can't have an actual food. They just have to have things that sound like food. When Nene is at her AD police booth, which is the only thing I can think to call it because that's what it looks like, she's sitting at her computer eating from a bag that is labeled Red Hot Snack. It is only by stealing this from her that Leon is able to get her to help him with anything.
And of course this is all in English. The English in the series is kind of gratuitous, but in a hilarious way.
Yeah, but I love that about anime. I like it when anime gets away from Japan so that they have a reason to speak in more English, because it's always so funny. Like, did we talk about Nene's computer and Adaton? I may have forgotten about that and mentioned it before, but it's so worth it. And that's not even one of the more ridiculous things that's said on there. Well, okay, it's the most ridiculous thing, Adaton, but there are other ones. What was it? I think there was, like, edit, but it's a 3 instead of an E.
Yes.
Nene, secretly the inventor of Leet.
Now we know she's a spy. She's a mole. She can read it.
But that's sort of all there is to the first 14 episodes of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040. They introduce a little bit of the plot that will encompass the final arc of the series in the later stuff with Cilia getting all mysterious and Nene finding out that Maki doesn't have any birth records.
And also Cilia spilling alcohol everywhere.
I hate this computer. Smash. Smashes her whiskey glass into it, slashes her hand open. It's a good thing I'm an independent billionaire because my dad invented boomers. Now I have to go kill all the boomers. That's the reason for the Night Sabers. Cilia needs to kill all of the boomers so that people have to keep buying them and she can get more money to fund the Night Sabers, to kill more boomers, and...
To wear a bathrobe. All the time.
If you see Celia in her house, especially if she's having a video conference with some dude who's Brian J. Mason's inside mole on the Nightsabers, I don't really know what that's about. If she's talking to someone over a video conference, she's in a bathrobe and presumably with nothing underneath. Aha. The only thing that could have been better is she was wearing her hard suit underneath it. Her hard suit that runs on magic.
Oh, yeah. She gets a sword.
She
deal.
Yeah, she has the sword that comes out of her wrist. It's the classic Nene's armor sucks thing. Nene gets her needle gun and her ability to hack through her suit that I don't understand. She was given a suit that has the ability to hack into computers, even though she seems perfectly capable of doing that from her computer at her 80 police office. Lena gets razor ribbons that can cut through what seem to be anything. Pris gets a punch that explodes when she punches somebody, known by the excellent name of the Knuckle Bomber. And Celia has the ability to disappear into thin air and has a sword and a jetpack. Though to be fair, Nene also has a jetpack that she doesn't use.
She just kind of disappears.
Well, it's in the first episode when Lena is running away from the Boomer as it yells at her about break time. It's break time. Everybody take a break. And Nene is at the bottom of the alley watching Lena dangle for her life from a broken fire escape while Pris fights the Boomer. And Pris tells Lena to go ahead and jump, and Lena's like, what? Jump? Are you crazy? And the Boomer roars or something. It's like, okay, I'll jump. And she jumps, and then Nene flies up and catches her. It's like, Nene, you can fly. Why didn't you just fly up and get her in the first place?
Because I'm Nene!
It's not the least useful Nene ever is. That would definitely, at least in the first 14 episodes, the least useful Nene ever is in the episode with the Boomer that attacks the cheating wife, because this is after Maki is introduced, and he's sort of a whiz kid mechanic assistant to Nigel, and they're able to make modifications to the hard suits, but they're not able to finish before Celia gets all bitchy and tells Maki to stop it. So Pris ends up going out in her hard suit that hasn't been finished yet, and her arm locks up. The Boomer, I guess, like, attacks her and knocks her to the ground and clamps onto her head, hard enough that her helmet begins to crack. Nene, attempting to help Pris, shoots the Boomer in the jaw with two of her needles, and the Boomer gets a little bit annoyed and roars, and then goes back to crushing Pris to death. And then Maki and Nigel call Pris and say, hey, Pris, hit yourself in the arm and it'll fix everything. And Pris is like, they're making me shoot myself in my own arm. This is lame, or something to that effect. And then she's able to totally destroy the Boomer after fixing her own arm with the Knuckle Buster. And then you see Nene just having hung out in the background for 5 minutes while Pris was getting crushed to death.
Well, she's Nene. What can you do with Nene?
Oh, Nene. I don't know. I feel like we could just talk about Nene for a whole podcast, saying, Nene, you didn't do anything. And that's the whole podcast.
And
Good night, everyone.
They even made a special episode just for you.
I know. Nene gets to kill the anti-Boomer Boomer. Nene is the anti-Boomer Boomer Boomer. And then she's never useful ever again because she doesn't get to do anything after that. They made an episode just for her to be okay. And then they just sort of abandoned the idea and let Pris do everything.
Yep.
And sometimes Lena. And maybe Celia sometimes, but never Nene. But that's the first 14 episodes of Bubblegum Crisis 2040. A little bit of ridiculousness, not a whole lot of initial plot, but once we get to the second half, that's when the plot will really start to get picked up, and you know it's going to be awesome, because there was a naked underage robot girl. Good night, Internet.
Good night.
All right, let's sync this up.
All right.
We're going to say it's break time, but it's a break. One, two, three. It's break time.
Everybody take a break.
Alright, I think we're good. Stopping now.
In the next episode of Bubblegum Crisis Tokyo 2040, from hallucinations to walking nightmares, the Nightsabers find themselves trapped and helpless without their armor. As Mason prepares Galatia for her ultimate purpose, the AD police are given the order to disband. Can Tokyo withstand the onslaught of a new army of rogue boomers? The genesis of the Nightsabers is unveiled. Next episode, I Surrender.